Hi, Royals fans. This is JJ Piccolo. If you suffer a sprain, strain, or fracture, the University of Kansas Health System offers orthopedic walk-in care at 435 and Nall in Overland Park. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. Thank you so much for joining us on this Friday, November 17th, 2017. We're going to have Tim Grenhard in studio coming up very soon. Then we are going to have our conversation that we had with Derek Johnson later on in the show. We went out to Arrowhead Stadium and sat down with the Chiefs all-time leading tackler, and we'll play that later on. We've got our Border Patrol Blitz and Fast Break, where we take a look at Mizzou, K-State, and KU. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we will also talk to Jay Williams, who is one of the inductees this weekend for the big event for Hall of Fame weekend here in Kansas City for the National Collegiate Basketball Hall of Fame, the induction celebration. I'm going to be down there on Sunday conducting some red carpet interviews that we will have on our Facebook page for Sports Radio 810 WHB. So you can check that out at about 5:30 on Sunday, early Sunday evening. Tim Duncan headlines the class. So going to be very excited to talk to Tim Duncan on the red carpet. If anyone's followed this show for a long time, you know that my favorite NBA basketball team, besides the Kansas City Kings of all time, Utah Jazz, featuring John Stockton and Karl Malone. In fact, I used to call in to Curtis Siebold when he did a show with Jeremy Wood. Is that right?
Yep, that's right.
And I used to call in as Utah Steve back to discuss the Utah Jazz in the finals with the Chicago Bulls. And so, I don't know if Curtis knows that.
That's the first time I've ever heard that. I had no idea.
Did you know that?
I did not.
I did not.
I do recall one of the first bad looks I ever received from Steven. Yeah. It was like the first week of me interning with Stephen St. John and one Mr. Jason Whitlock. And it was when we had our pit back here.
Right.
And we were getting ready, prep in the morning, and I said something, I think I said something bad about I think maybe Stockton made fun of his shorts or something.
Right.
And just turned around and stared at me. He's like, "You should know better." I'm like, "What?" And then he got up and left the room, and then our friend Scott Cruz is like, no Jazz.
Right.
Big Jazz fan. Don't want to.
Well, I loved
Utah Steve.
Yeah, Utah Steve.
That was a heck of a show with Siebold and Jeremy Wood. They actually did a really good show. That's funny, man.
I remember. So, like,
Utah
Susan
Steve
was in the car. I couldn't think of anything else.
That's great.
So, like, Susan was in the car with me. I remember talking to them, and it was one specific call. I remember I was on Nolan Road and I had to pull over because I was trying to, I'm trying to hash some things out.
Yeah.
About the NBA Finals.
Look, phones were a little bigger back then,
yeah,
too.
Right. I had to make something happen.
Yeah, bag phone.
Right. You know what? I think it was an actual car phone that was mounted right there. Let me grab that.
Hello?
And so just personally, I'm going to be very excited to be able to ask a question or two and meet John Stockton, who is going to be one of the inductees. And then our guest at 9 o'clock, Jay Williams, who, of course, was a fabulous player at Duke. Also, Paul Silas, Wisconsin, former Wisconsin head coach Bo Ryan. It's going to be awesome. Scott May. And so some great names, great college basketball players and coaches to be inducted. And so I'll be down there Sunday, and I think the red carpet celebration and all the festivities and interviews, and I only get to ask one or two brief questions, like under a minute with each guy as they just walk through, because they have to keep it rolling because they have a very tight schedule. The itinerary is filled on Sunday, and so I'll just be glad to be able to do that on the Sports Radio 810 Facebook page. You can check that out at around 5:30 when you've already watched the Chiefs and then listened to the post game here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. then you can check that out. So we'll be excited to talk to Jay Williams. And I know you know Jay Williams from Fantasy Camp.
Yeah.
And so we'll have him on the show at 9 o'clock to talk about that, talk about his return to Kansas City. We're going to obviously talk a lot about the Chiefs and the Giants. The Chiefs return for the bye week. As I said, you'll hear our interview with Derek Johnson a little bit later in the show around 8:30 or so, Jake Pounder says. So we'll do that. And we'll get to the Chiefs in the next segment or two when Tim Grunhard arrives in studio to help us preview the Chiefs and Giants noon on Sunday. We'll also briefly talk about, I told Titans are overrated. Talking about the Titans perhaps hanging with the Steelers last night. Garbage. No.
They kind of hung with them for a little bit.
When?
Well, I mean, what was it?
It was like 16-7 at half. And that,
yeah, they got it down to a two-point game in the second half. For a while.
This is the NFL. They lost 40-7. They're moral victories. We're talking about wins and losses. That's garbage.
I'm with you, man.
It's garbage. It's crap. And Mariota, I'm sorry. Because you guys said, well, you probably saw him with Matt Castle, and that's why you have this opinion of the Titans. You know what? No, I see him with Mariota. Do you know what his touchdown interception ratio is this year? Okay, Jake, do you know?
Nope.
Can I throw this out? Let's see if it surprised you at all. Just take a wild guess.
I knew that the four last night hurt him.
Take a wild guess.
Four picks.
How many games has he played in again?
Well, he has 281 attempts. He's played in, I'll tell you
six
right now.
Six games.
He's played in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 and a half games. He's played in plenty of games. That's a little over half a season.
I'll go 16-10.
It must be really bad. So I'll say 10-10.
I'll say 8 touchdowns and 10 interceptions.
Pretty bad.
Not good.
Didn't he have some phenomenal record of not throwing an interception inside the red zone?
The red zone,
like his,
yep.
His touchdown interception ratio in the red zone go from it was like 40 to nothing
Never had one ever in the red zone.
I'm assuming some of those 10 have been in the red zone this year.
But. Well, I mean, everyone crushed Alex Smith for having 15 touchdown passes last year. This guy has 8 touchdowns in 8.5 games.
No, I think and
the interceptions that Alex Smith didn't have. So, I mean, we see all these young quarterbacks exploding. Both him and Winston have been big disappointments this year.
You're preaching to the choir on that one. Everybody was quick to proclaim those two guys as better quarterbacks than Alex Smith,
Well, at least you could say Winston's shoulder's wrecked or whatever is wrong with it, which I think it's. I don't know if they've handled that right. I think he might have been playing when he shouldn't have been, and we'll see if he even comes back. How many times has Will Carroll said it reminds him of the Andrew Luck thing? Which if you're a quarterback, do you want any injury right now compared to anything having to do with Andrew Luck right now as he goes for treatment in Europe?
No. Nope.
So. Mm-mm. Just no good. No good. So that was that.
But, even when he was healthy, his touchdown interception ratio is 10-6 this year.
The game sucked last night.
It did. It was a bummer.
Antonio Brown, 10 catches, 144 yards, 3 touchdowns. And here's my problem, right? And so when I think about whether the Chiefs can beat the Steelers in the playoffs, finally beat the Steelers, it has to be because, in my opinion, Ben Roethlisberger's in decline and just, or banged up or not. He's not as good as he used to be. But he's got to be. The Chiefs have to win the quarterback battle, which used to sound outrageous between Alex Smith and Ben Roethlisberger. But now you can see it. If Roethlisberger's banged up and not the same as he used to be, he looked good last night. And I did not appreciate that. 30 of 45 for 299 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. No. I don't need that Ben Roethlisberger in my life. I'll pass on that. No, thank you. I like watching that game like, no. And I'm thinking, how would the Chiefs handle Antonio Brown this time around? And I'm like, hey, let me change the channel and check the Mizzou Utah game.
You were not Utah Steve last night, were you? No?
Are we on TV?
I think so.
Okay.
No Utah Steve last night.
Sure I was. Whatever. Well, I know we were all focused on whether or not Michael Porter Jr. showed up in Utah. Apparently the rest of the team stayed back in Columbia, too. They didn't show up.
It was a slow start to that game. Tough getting going offensively.
It was a slow start?
Yeah.
So the middle and the ending were better?
No, they shot a little bit better in the second half. So did Utah.
So it was just the start that I should be upset about.
No.
The rest of it was all right?
I mean, I who knows how the game goes if maybe you hit one of your first eight shots.
I kind of know. I kind of know how the game goes.
Yeah.
That was a bad matchup. Last night for that team, and also I'm not if you go crazy. Look, if you don't overreact to a big win early this season, and don't overreact to a big loss. Okay, that's a bunch of freshmen and guys that had not had a road game before. They went through it. They shouldn't have looked that bad. They looked terrible last night. But those are grown men that were playing in the post. I think one of them was 24 years old.
Was 24 years old. Yep.
24-year, and you know, look, and Jonte Porter's either 17 or just turned 18 this week. That's no excuse, but at this point in the season, that's not a favorable matchup for them.
Well, maybe that's a good wake-up call for guys like him and Jeremiah Tillman, who's also, what, just 18?
Jeremiah Tillman was not on the floor enough for him to have a wake-up call. Last night, ladies and gentlemen, here we go. and then we'll break. Give me the drum roll. I need a drum roll before we break. Here is the Jeremiah Tillman foul update for last night. After he was told, and he said this when I was at the game against Iowa State, when they had Jeremiah Tillman come out, they said, "What has Coach told you about the fouls?" He said, "Coach said when the game starts, I have to act like and play like I already have three fouls." And I'm like, and I laughed. Like, yeah, you know what? That's a pretty good way to look at it. Yeah, you already got three fouls, Jeremiah. Now play like it. Last night, Jeremiah Tillman got his five fouls in 6 minutes.
He committed his first foul 40 seconds into the game. So if he's playing like that, well, I've got three fouls.
Yeah.
And it was like going for a steal, at I believe, in the backcourt, you know?
6 minutes, five fouls. So, Jake, your thoughts on that? You're a former big man in high school.
Not a good percentage.
Did you ever commit that many fouls in 6 minutes? Tough to do.
It's a good foul
per
minute ratio.
Do.
No, yeah. I did. I don't know.
You got to admit that.
I fouled out in almost every game I played in, though, but it took me a lot longer than 6 minutes.
You
got
to admit, tough to do. Tough to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 6 minutes.
It's hard.
You know what? Take that game, flush it.
It's hard.
And see, like last night, perfect game where they need Michael Porter Jr. because nobody can throw the basketball into the basket. No one can get it to go through the damn freaking net, you know? They couldn't hit ocean if they threw the ball, you know, off a boat. And so you needed Michael Porter Jr. to take the ball and score what he does best. Get to the basket, get to the free throw line, score, because nobody could score last night. But that's it. 77-59, Utah beats the Missouri Tigers. And now Missouri has time until they play Monday, I think, against Emporia State. And, of course, we will hear absolutely nothing about any update or anything officially. But I'm sure that there will be plenty of rumors and innuendo swirling around the Internet about Michael Porter Jr.'s injury to his leg or hip or back. So that takes care of that. Utah beats Mizzou 77-59. The Titans laid down in the second half to the Pittsburgh Steelers, so nothing went my way last night except for third grade girls basketball practice,
yeah,
which did go my way.
Well, there you go.
So a lot of screaming and yelling.
Yeah.
Yep. And a lot of why? Why? Why do we do that? I don't know. Why do we do anything? Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. All right. Besides, obviously, the Chiefs and Giants on Sunday, tonight, in college basketball, Kansas will host South Dakota State at 7 o'clock at Allen Fieldhouse. And Kansas State will host UC Irvine in Manhattan as part of the Continental Tire Las Vegas Invitational. That game will tip off at 8 o'clock. Of course, you can listen to Kansas and South Dakota State right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. So some Friday night basketball for you. Then tomorrow in the college football, Oklahoma at Kansas at 2:30 on ESPN with Nate Buchady and Todd Lebo in attendance. Todd Lebo claiming the Union Broadcasting parking pass and not giving anyone else a chance at it. I feel like there should have been at least a discussion of who's going to the game and then some type of lottery, some type of even-handed process that could give everyone an equal shot at the parking pass. Instead, Todd Lebo got his hands on it because that's who the parking passes are delivered to, and so it was never up for grabs. And Todd Lebo claimed what he says what's rightfully his because he's a Sooner.
So. Well, it's not a democracy around here. I get that. It's you know, he's got seniority. He's got more clout. He's got the bigger office.
He's got everything. The parking passes.
Yeah. So. He takes what he wants, and the rest of us kind of fight for the leftovers.
Fight for the scraps.
But I've put in a call to Tickets for Less, and I think I'm going to be able to secure a parking pass.
Unless Todd gets it for one of his friends first.
Right.
He's calling there right when they open now that he heard this.
Just to keep me from getting a parking
pass. Can I buy all the parking passes up you have left for KU Oklahoma? And they'll stand out, just hand them out to only Oklahoma fans.
So. We're going up with the Eplers. They're Oklahoma fans, so maybe I could get him to give the Eplers the parking pass.
I don't think so. I don't think so. But you were discussing some type of wager with Gary Lezak. That did not happen because the line is 37. You wanted 47 points, and he wanted to give you 27, so we couldn't come up with a...
It's a bridge too far.
Right. Then for Kansas State, at the same time, 2:30 on ESPN2, Kansas State at Oklahoma State. K-State needs to get one more win to officially be bowl eligible. And, of course, the talk yesterday about Kansas State, a couple of things. Number one, we find out due to a report from Brett McMurphy that there was almost a deal in place for Jim Levitt to be the defensive coordinator this year and then perhaps take over for Bill Snyder next year. And if not, he would have been paid $3 million until Bill Snyder stop that deal, crush that deal, because he wants his son to take over as head football coach. So this does not seem like this is going well right now. But on the same day, Missouri and Kansas State announced that they have a home-and-home series in football coming up in a few years. So that's pretty good. I like that. He just lifted his coffee to me and said, hey, all right. I feel like it's a game you're going to go with. You're going to go with me to both of them.
Oh, to both?
Here and there. Yeah, sure. We'll do it both. We'll do a home-and-home. Why not? Pretty good, pal. When you see that series, what's your reaction?
Well, I mean, Kansas has got a home-and-home schedule with Coastal Carolina coming up, so take that.
It is in no way related.
Chanticleers.
Does it make you mad that K-State's going to play Missouri now, or do you care?
Nah, I don't care.
Do you wish they wouldn't?
I don't think I would if I was K-State, but who am I to tell K-State what to do?
Well, you're in a big K-State fan thread. Was that brought up at all?
They texted me something about it. I didn't ask them.
You shouldn't do that.
I think everything I heard yesterday was way overshadowed by that Jim Levin.
Did you get on there?
My K-State buddy's like, that was a little mention, but all they wanted to talk
about
was the Sean Snyder thing.
Sean Snyder.
No.
Oh, no, they're not happy about that. Oh, no. No.
I heard a lot of the AD and president need to stand up to Bill Snyder.
Who'd you hear that from? Or like KU friend?
You got your own K-State text message thread?
I talked to... my buddy and his father.
K-State guys?
Yes, they both are alumni. Right. They both graduated from the university.
Like if you heard it from Nate, like that would tell.
And I have another buddy, Mike, who listens to this show. He ran track at K-State in the day.
What do you say, Mike?
Mike D. And I think everybody is under, like, it's time that, because I think everybody's on board with, let's have a succession plan at this point.
They do, Sean Snyder.
Right, and I don't think anybody's on board with a guy who's not, well.
It's Bill Snyder's choice.
I think they feel like the AD or president and or need to step up to Bill Snyder.
It's not their choice, it's Bill Snyder's choice.
Well, I think it, one of those.
Well, technically it is their choice.
Okay. Did they try to make that choice?
Yes.
Then who made it not happen?
Oh, supposedly Bill Snyder.
Well, then it sounds like it's Bill Snyder's choice to me from over here.
It sounds like a lot of the fan base is ready for it not to be.
I'm just saying from a contract standpoint, like his contract, he wanted it to be in his contract that he had full control over naming the successor. Mm-hmm. And now it's like adequate input, I think, is the term that he has. He gets adequate input on who the successor is.
I want to talk more about this with Tim Grenhardt, because Jim Leavitt, of course, used to coach at K-State and went to Mizzou. And so there's a very interesting background of Jim Leavitt, who has had his issues, but is one hell of a football coach. And then finally, I know you wanted me to get to this, Nathan. Missouri with a big football game tomorrow night at 6:30. Once I'm done watching Kansas and Kansas State, I can tune in to the Tigers at 6:30 on SEC Network against Vanderbilt. It's in Nashville. Right now, Missouri favored by 9.5 as Mizzou goes for their fifth win in a row. That would put them at 6-5 and make them bowl eligible if they could beat Vanderbilt on the road. And that's something that K-State couldn't do. They lost 14-7, so it's no gimme. I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's a sure thing, even though everyone says it is. I'm not ready to go there, but I think Missouri will win. Can't wait to watch it and see if Drew Locke can get closer also to the Mizzou single-season passing record for touchdowns. He has 35. The record is 39 held by Chase Daniel. And so, in a weekend, Blaine Gabbert is going to start a football game in the NFL, so it's a big weekend for me just to sit there and go, look at that. I like that. I get all goofy inside.
You still get excited when Blaine Gabbert
plays? Why not?
Plays?
Why not?
Yeah.
I like Blaine Gabbert. I don't, you know what? Too much hate on Blaine Gabbert for Mizzou fans. I like Blaine Gabbert. He gave me a wonderful win over Oklahoma. Remember when it was Oklahoma was number one? That was a big deal.
Yeah.
That's what I choose to remember. Let's take a break. We'll have Tim Grenhardt in studio. We'll see what he chooses to remember after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the show. By the way, the Mizzou K-State home and home series, 2022 at KSU, 2023 at Mizzou. And we have Tim Grenhardt in studio, and Timmy, we'll get to the Chiefs.
Yes. Good morning, guys.
Soon.
Morning.
Good morning to you. Here, I can break down the Chiefs game for you. They're going to win.
Good luck this weekend to your Stags as well, by the way.
Thank you.
Well, he loves to just try to kiss your ass, doesn't he? Do you like it? I like it. It's a respectful young man there when you come to the studio.
Yeah.
Sometimes
I'm staying away from the whole Mie stuff.
Why?
Just staying away.
What's wrong with you?
Nothing. Tired of it.
People getting
tired
hit up on the private jet thing you're flying all
just
these kids in.
Tired of it. No, I'm just tired of it.
You're not tired of coaching at Mie.
Just tired of it completely.
The movie It?
It. Everything. So,
you're tired of us?
Well, let's just leave it at that.
I didn't mean to bring up a sore subject.
No, it's not a sore subject. Way to go, Nate.
Yeah.
Not a sore subject.
You know what? I'm getting ready to go into this thing.
Right.
And you have to
talk about K-State.
I'll keep it in. Yeah, I'll just fire him out.
Even when I try to kiss Grunny's ass, I somehow piss him off.
Screw it up. Way to go, dude.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, you did.
It just gets old. It's old.
I want to read this to you, and so I don't want to make you mad. Sam Miller wrote a poem about me.
You can't do that.
I don't want to make you mad, but
yep,
I want to ask you about this because you look at this from several different angles, and so you tell me what you think of this Brett McMurphy report yesterday, and I'll read it to you. Jim Leavitt had a verbal agreement last year to become K-State's head coach in waiting and become its current coach in 2018, but Bill Snyder nixed it because he wanted his son Sean as his replacement. Sources said K-State's top officials, including President Richard Myers and the school's highest-profile boosters, were all on board with Leavitt, then a Colorado assistant, joining KSU staff and then replacing the legendary Snyder after the 2017 season. Leavitt and the school had an agreement guaranteeing Leavitt $3 million if he wasn't named K-State's coach by January 1st, 2018. However, last December, Snyder pushed back on Leavitt, a former KSU assistant, being named as his replacement because Snyder wanted his son, Sean, currently KSU's associate head coach and special teams coordinator, to replace him, sources said. Snyder is going to be the special assistant to the athletic director when he's done coaching, and also shall also have appropriate input regarding the selection of the next head football coach.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt that he's going to have a big-time role in selecting the next head coach, and obviously he wants his son Sean to get the job. I talked to Nick Leckie yesterday, who came over and said hello to the Bishop Mie Staggs and had a little nice little speech. And I asked him, say, okay, so what do you think of this whole situation? You know, how, you know, what's the alumni want? What's in, and they want Leavitt. He's a great coach. I think he was there while Leavitt was there, or if not, they have a relationship. I think the alumni, I think most of the people around the organization, around the school, in the front office, in the admin there, all want Leavitt to be the next coach. But there's one guy that doesn't, and that one guy that doesn't has a stadium named after him and has a lot of pull, has a lot of say in what's going on, and he's going to name it. So, you know, this isn't anything against, you know, Sean Snyder. It's nothing against his son, but, you know, everybody between Venables and it was who's really not been talked about too much at that job or Leavitt. I think Leavitt is a guy that most people want, and you know he's getting a little bit older. I think what is he about 61?
I think
61 years old. So he, you know, he's got, you know, he's young compared to Coach Snyder, but he's getting up there in age. So it's time to make a decision. And, you know, I think that's the decision going to be made after this season. I think there will be a new coach walking the sidelines at Kansas State within the next 2 years, if not a year. And, you know, it's really going to be dictated by the guy who has the whistle around his neck right now.
All right. So one other point, Leavitt's contract at Oregon, where he's the defensive coordinator, includes a clause that he won't have to pay UO a buyout should he voluntarily terminate this agreement to become the head football coach at Kansas State. So
it's funny that you mentioned Nick Lucky, because he made a comment. He used to, you know, come on our show once a week back in the day, and awesome dude. He made a comment to me one time that something that frustrated him the most as an NFL football player was, he said, you know, the thing about being an NFL player is you're told by everybody that it's a meritocracy, which means it's merit-based, right? Who your dad is doesn't matter. The color of your skin doesn't matter. You know, nothing matters other than your ability to play the game, right? And so it's cold-hearted, but you take comfort as a player in knowing that it's purely merit-based. You know, your job is, can you do the job better than the guy next to you, right? Or do they have a better option? And he said, but the coaching is the exact opposite.
I was going to say,
there's
yeah,
nepotism. You hire your buddies. Everybody gets recycled through, and it's not based on merit. And this seems like the clearest example of that you could possibly state. A guy in Sean Snyder, who might be a great guy and all that stuff, but's never coached anywhere outside of K-State, never worked anywhere outside of K-State, I believe, has never called a play as an offensive or defensive coordinator, even.
Special teams coordinator.
Yeah, he's a special teams coordinator. Has never called a play, has never been a head coach, has never coached anywhere else, is being held up next to a guy with Jim Leavitt's resume, who built a program out of a trailer in South Florida that turned into a
By the way, it looked pretty good last night.
Yeah, they did. But he built that program from nothing, literally nothing. And if it's a meritocracy, this isn't even a discussion.
No, there's no doubt that, and that's too big a word for me to use. But
that was Nick Leckie's word.
Yeah, well, he went to K-State. They're smarter than we are. But here's the thing. I mean, reality is he's exactly right. You know, you look at just the Kansas City Chiefs staff when I was there. You know, Marty Schottenheimer hired Kurt Schottenheimer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and Marty also went out, you know, it turned out to be a great guy, but Bill Cowher was his best friend. You know, Bill Cowher was, he brought Bill Cowher along with him, and Bill Cowher ended up being a great coach. So, I mean, it was a good decision for him to bring Bill Cowher. But, you know, if you look at just the staffs and how, you know, Herm Edwards, another guy that was really good friends with, guy who head coach of Minnesota, back, you know, he does NBC
now.
Not
Brad Childress.
No. Tony Dungy.
Sorry, I couldn't think of Tony Dungy's name. Just CTE. But Tony Dungy and Herm Edwards were really good friends. And you know, so if you're really good friends with somebody and somebody's working their way up, you get the job. And that's just kind of the way it is. And it happens in high school. It happens in college. It happens in the NFL. It's just kind of the way it is. But you're exactly right. When you walk between the lines and you walk onto the field, you've got to earn every step. When you're in the coaching profession, it's who you know, what you know, and you know what your relationship is with somebody on the staff. And that's just the way it's always been, and that's probably the way it always will be. And so that doesn't make it fair, but, you know, guys kind of want to be, if you're going to spend that much time, you know, and you know, you spend 16 to 18 hours. I mean, it's just unbelievable the time you put in. in a lot of these programs. If you're going to spend that much time, you better be with somebody that you really have a good relationship with. So I think a lot of them think of it that way. Yeah. Hey, I know this guy. You know, he's a good coach, but I get along with him. You know, there's not going to be that drama, you know, between room to room and all that kind of stuff. So I think a lot of it has to do with just relationships and getting along with guys. And that doesn't make it right, but that kind of makes it why they do it.
We have Tim Grenhardt in studio. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. So there's your weekend in college football schedule for the local schools. Kansas State at Oklahoma, 2:30. Oklahoma at Kansas, 2:30. And then 6:30. On SEC Network, Mizzou going for their fifth win in a row against Vanderbilt.
Heck, that's awesome. Congratulations to them. Wow. What a great comeback. Keep those kids. That coach has done a great job of keeping those kids motivated and focused.
Now,
really has.
And I'm very happy to see a local kid like Drew Locke. And, you know, Anthony Sherrills, too.
Yeah.
Who's played terrific football the past month or
Hogan,
so.
From Hogan, right?
Absolutely. He's been just terrific back there, and it's great to see Kansas City kids excel on the next level and see if Mizzou becomes bowl eligible with a win against Vanderbilt. Now, Tim Grenhardt, later on we're going to play an interview that we did with Derek Johnson. We went out and had a lengthy interview with him, about 20 minutes or so, out at Arrowhead Stadium yesterday, and we're going to play that at 8:30. And it was fun listening to him talk football and talk about his mindset going into this next stretch of seven games before the playoffs. And so I kind of asked him about this. I want to ask you, because you know what this is like, okay? He's played his whole career with one team. You played your whole career with the Chiefs. And you had more success than failure with the Chiefs. You were on a lot of good football teams. But as your career started winding down and you started to think about, okay, how many more years am I going to play? How many more chances am I going to get to the Super Bowl? How much did you think about that? Because he's in that situation now, 13 years, where he's been on good. He's been on bad teams, too. He's been on good teams. But you start to you know now that there's not a whole lot of seasons left in your career, and that becomes maybe an obsession, and it seems like it is for him, getting to the Super Bowl. How much of that was on your mind when you were thinking about, okay, how many more years am I going to play? Do I want to do this? What was your mindset during the last couple of years of your career?
Well, the last year of my career came a lot quicker than I thought it was going to come because of the knee injury that I had. But, when you start to get to about year 7 or 8 or 9, and you know that, you know, you're kind of hanging on for dear life in your NFL career, that's when it really, because early in your career and early in my career, we went to the playoffs every year. It was kind of like, okay, it's going to happen again. We're going to go to the playoffs. And then one of these times we're going to win a couple games in the playoffs and we're going to go on to the Super Bowl, and it's going to happen. And then all of a sudden, you find it. You're in your 7th or 8th or 9th year, and you're kind of pressing because you know that clock is ticking, and that's the way DJ is. I believe he knows that clock is ticking, and he's maybe has one or two more shots at this. Maybe just this year. Maybe one more year after this. But he knows that clock is ticking, and it's very frustrating. But there's nothing you can particularly do about it yourself. And what happens? And I've seen it 100 times, 1,000 times when guys are trying to do too much. And I think this year DJ's trying to do too much. I mean, he's trying to do other people's jobs in order to make sure that this defense is working properly, and he puts himself in bad positions. And when you put yourself in a bad position at the linebacker spot, you're opening up for a lot of big plays. And that's nothing against him. It's just he's a competitor. He wants to win. He feels that, hey, what can I do to put this team over the top? Because this is a good football team. Everybody knows this is a good football team. There are some problems. There are some warts on this team. But overall, it's a good football team that has an opportunity. And this could be the last opportunity. You know, because next year, most likely, Alex Smith goes on to other pastures. I mean, he may stick around one more year, but Mahomes is probably going to come in. It's really hard for a rookie quarterback to come in and lead a team to a Super Bowl. Now, he may be excited. He may win a bunch of games. It might be something, but you know, you're starting up really anew when you bring a new quarterback in. So he realizes this is probably the last chance he has to go to a Super Bowl. And you know, you start to press.
So you, when you say that he's trying to do too much, the question I asked him that I'll ask you too. When you talk about the run defense, a lot of times you talk about that being toughness or a mindset, being physical enough. But it also can be about, you know, gap responsibility and maintaining your job. What is the bigger problem for the Chiefs' run defense in your mind right now between those two ideas?
I think that right now the gap responsibilities and the way the defense is set up right now that, you know, up front they're kind of getting pushed around a little bit. And when you get pushed around a little bit, it really affects the whole middle. When you talk about, let's talk about baseball, you have the catcher, the pitcher, the second baseman, the shortstop, and the center fielder. That's the strength of your defense. I mean, that's kind of, you got to be strong up the middle. And everybody has to be responsible. And, you know, it's in baseball, too, with the shifts and everything else, you know, you've got to know exactly what that guy next to you is going to do. And I think right now there's a little bit of, not question, but I think there's a little bit of a lack of trust factor that I think some guys are trying to do too much and some guys aren't doing what they're supposed to do. And that's something that I know the Chiefs tried to address during this bye week is the fundamental and technique of playing the run. You know, a lot of situational football was addressed this week. Another situation that was addressed, and it had to be addressed, is third down and long, which they are very, very poor in. And that's all about communication. Because, you know, when it's a communication between, you know, who's coming to put pressure on, which linebacker's dropping and what area they have, which corner is dropping into the flat, or is he carrying the guy, is the safety coming over, and the communication between the safeties and the corners aren't as good as it really should be. And there's a lot to that, and, you know, Barry being hurt does that. So when you see teams getting beat in third and long situations, when it's third down and second or you know, third and two or three or four, they're not that bad. But once you get to, like, six plus, the Chiefs are horrible. And it's all about communication. It's all about trust. It's all about knowing exactly what that guy next to you is doing or what the guy behind you is doing. And that's where the Chiefs are struggling right now. The communication and the trust on that defensive side of the ball is affecting the way they're playing. And I think DJ takes that personal because he's part of that communication factor.
We have Tim Gernhardt in studio. We also are going to talk to Gary Lezak for your weekend forecast. Before Tim leaves at around 7:50 or so, then we'll have the Border Patrol Blitz and Fast Break at 8:05. You will hear our conversation with Derek Johnson at 8:30. And then Jay Williams, who will be inducted into the National Collegiate Basketball Hall of Fame, will join us at 9:05. He's going to be inducted this weekend, so we'll be on the show to talk about that at 9:05 right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you for watching us on 38 The Spot. Hope you have a great weekend. And once again, tune in on Monday. We'll have your entire wrap-up of the weekend in sports in Kansas City, especially the Chiefs and the Giants from 6 until 7 on Monday right here on 38 The Spot. And as always, the show continues right now on Sports Radio 810 WHB.